Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
It's time for Aki's A-List. From the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's world, Aki's A-List. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
Need a little clarification here.
What do you need?
Not actually Aki's A-List.
It's going to be Z-Pac's Z-List.
Z-List.
Although you want it to be Z-Pac's D-List.
Because Kevin's last name actually begins with a D.
You know what makes it the Z-List, though, Tom? I just threw in a Zin.
Just a Zin? Nothing else?
It's up there on the upper deck.
Nothing else?
No. I'm waiting on the second part of that from the meeting. Give me the go-ahead, Tyler.
Go ahead, Z-List.
All right, guys. Let's get started here.
We didn't need the go-ahead from him.
I would like it. He's running the show.
Right. Kev's in.
All right, let's start with a little mock draft action. We all love the mock drafts.
Of course.
Who are the Bears going to take at number one? No, I'm just kidding. All offseason long, most people have addressed the need positions for the Bears. Offensive line, edge rusher, wide receiver. We all know the names, whether it's the folks we were looking at earlier in the Waddle tape analysis in the pre-show fist fight.
Oh, we had some fun up there, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. I loved hearing you break it down. Joe Alt, Dallas Turner, these are the names that we've been hearing a lot. But I bought a mock drafts, as you do, this time of the year. And more, you're seeing Brock Bowers, the tight end, from Georgia to Chicago at number 9. Now, knowing that they have all these needs all over, and the fact that Cole Kmet is signed here already to pretty big money, how would y'all feel?
How would y'all feel?
I lived in Texas for a year. I'm allowed to do that. How would y'all feel if Brock Bowers was the pick at 9? Would you be a little disappointed? Would you be okay with it?
I would be okay with it. But I think, after, like you said, after signing Gerald Everett, I don't know. You know, I think you've filled that spot.
Well, how long is Gerald Everett's contract? Is it a year? Maybe two?
Look, I think that if you draft Brock Bowers, you basically play him like a big-bodied wide receiver in the slot. Yeah. So I wouldn't be... I wouldn't be horribly upset. Look, if you took him... If Joe Walt's available and you take Brock Bowers, then I probably would be a little disgruntled.
You love Joe Alt.
Well, I like that.
Comes from good stock.
He does. But Kev, I would also say if Roma Dunze's there at 9, and so is Joe Alt, and so is Brock Bowers, and so is the top pass rusher, I'd be just fine with him taking Roma Dunze. I would take Roma Dunze before I take Brock Bowers.
I'd be fine with Brock Bowers. I'd probably be a little more inclined to trade back at that point. I have no issue with Brock Bowers. Now, if you hadn't made the Keenan Allen trade, I would be saying don't trade back. You take Brock Bowers. You get the pass catcher. Right. You have a quarterback and a tight end that can grow together. By the way, Gerald Everett's contract, 2 years, $12 million, but only $6 million guaranteed. Effectively a one-year deal.
One-year deal, $6 million.
So... I would be fine with Brock Bowers. I just don't look at that as glaring of a need. Even though he is more of a pass-catching tight end, more of a receiver, as opposed to the type of tight end that...
Did he run a 4.48? Is that what I'm seeing here? Brock Bowers ran a 4... Did he run a 4.48?
I don't know. I didn't see his... I didn't see his 40
time. Didn't see
time.
His time?
No, I did not. But, no, overall...
4.48, yeah.
I would be fine with Brock Bowers. I have no issue with Brock Bowers, but he isn't... I would prioritize trading back at that point than drafting Brock Bowers, because you might be able to trade back and still get Brock Bowers. Because there are some mocks that, like, once upon a time he was going as high as 5.
Who's got the mock that has got Marvin Harrison Jr. dropping a 9?
Mike Tannenbaum.
I don't see that happening.
Don't think anyone lives in that world.
I don't live in that world.
It'd
By
be
the way,
nice to live in that world.
How about Matt Miller actually
grinding 7 rounds?
7 rounds.
Good for him.
How do you even do that?
I think at a certain point, like, he probably has a board of all
of
these players.
By the way, he's got Rome Odunze going to the Bears at 9.
Yes, he does. He probably has a board of every single, for like each position grouping. And then
just goes by.
Goes by. Once he gets to like the second and third rounds.
Just start throwing darts.
Well, no, he'll just go off of the team's needs and then the top guy at the on his board. So
that's still, that's a lot, say, a lot like effort. Listen, I give him a ton of credit for doing it.
You don't envy the work.
It's an exercise in futility right. after a while, is it not? I mean, it's just pure guessing.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a spewing names to spew names at that point.
I think
you're printing up some names.
I think the same. Yes.
All right. So edge rusher, as we were talking about, big need. For somebody else to compliment Montez Sweat on that defensive line. Bears didn't hit on any of the perceived targets that were out there in the first wave of free agency. And today, this was a name that didn't get thrown around a lot, but a guy coming off a resurgent year, Jadeveon Clowney, has signed with the Carolina Panthers on a two-year, $20 million deal. Any buyer's remorse, maybe, for Carolina?
How much or could this be
2 years, 20.
Could
he have been a fit here?
Yeah. I think he could have been a fit. I think a lot of pass rushers could have been a fit here. But
would you have liked that, Tyler?
I would rather go younger. Opposite Montez Sweat.
With a draft pick?
A draft pick, yeah.
What if you're not? I mean, I would say the fact that they haven't signed somebody definitely keeps the door open at 9 that they would draft a pass rusher.
And I believe Matt Miller in his mock marathon had a third rounder going to the Bears as an edge rusher.
Okay.
So I'd rather go young at the position, especially if you are using it on 9, because if you think about the progression of it all, by the time Montez Sweat's money is off the books, it'll be time to pay your new pass rusher. So you kind of infuse that cash into the guy that you would draft at 9, assuming it all works out. And that's, you're drafting a guy with the assumption that it is going to work out for you, especially at the 9th overall spot there. I think that progression plan I would prefer that as opposed to signing Jadeveon Clowney, wasn't it Jadeveon Clowney who quit on the Browns a couple years ago too?
Oh, who wouldn't quit on the Browns?
It may have happened, but he was good last year for Baltimore.
Wasn't
he good for Baltimore?
9.5 sacks last year.
A lot of pass rushers come into Baltimore though, and then become really good and kind of aren't. Remember Pernell McPhee? Like a lot of those guys come through there.
Yeah, I don't necessarily need Jadeveon Clowney. I'd rather go younger, grow with the guy. What else, Kevbo?
Got one more free agent note here. Former Bear great Cordarrelle Patterson signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers on a two-year, $6 million contract. Of course, we talked yesterday on the station about the change in the kickoff rule. Is this a genius move by the Steelers to get in before the rest of the league to capitalize on this rule change and sign a proven commodity for a guy returning kicks?
I think he gives you some flexibility. I mean, it probably wasn't a big contract. He gives them just, you know, another weapon.
Although 2 years, $6 million.
You do have two running backs that are already pretty accomplished, but you didn't spend any money on your quarterbacks. So spending $6 million over 2 years on Cordarrelle Patterson and having him available on offense as well as returns, I don't think it's a horrible thing.
I think that if you're trying to outsmart the kick return rule changes, I think you're best off just trying to find some speed at the back end of the draft. Because we've talked about how the back end of the draft this year is not going to be as robust with underclassmen. So you may not have as much talent when you get to the 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds, but there's still going to be speed no matter what the round is. And maybe that's where you try to capitalize.
But he's not costing you anything. And when you've got really nothing attributed to the quarterback position in terms of salary as well. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think this is a big risk at all. I think this is a low risk, high reward potential for them. And I don't have any issue with it at all.
Yeah, I don't have any issue with it.
I don't think it's going to be some grand, hey, oh my God, they outsmarted everybody.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to, at the end of the year, look at, wow, they really...
Well, let me ask you a question.
Caught the league by surprise.
Don't you believe, based on the change to the kickoff rule, that there will be more returns this year?
Yes, I believe I saw there was an average of 8 returns per game in the XFL with these rules.
So odds are, if you find somebody who's really good at it, that guy could have an impact on your team. Yeah. So if the number of returns is going to go up dramatically, why not bring in a guy who's done it at a Pro Bowl level consistently in his career at $3 million a year? I mean, I think that this is a wise signing by them.
I think so, too. I think it's something that's worth having around. I don't think... I'm not, like, crestfallen that the Bears weren't thinking about this in any sort of way.
No, and you're right. Look, I mean, you could have a young guy. Like, Tyler Scott could be your kickoff
return. Jones is another... As long as he holds on to the football, like, this may be the thing for him.
I love that caveat. As long as he holds on to the football. Yeah, which he has. Inspiring.
I know. I just had
enough of that. Look, if this car had a steering wheel, it would be great to drive.
I mean, if he's here, I'm not going to rebel. But
I will say, at the end of last season, when there, especially when it got cold out and those kickoffs weren't going into the end zone as much, he was a pretty good returner for this team.
But I would look for somebody that can do something else as well.
That's fair.
So, like, bring me in a wide receiver that can do that and.
Yeah. I don't think Cordarrelle Patterson, like you mentioned, they already have two other running backs in the room. He's probably only going to be returning kicks for the Steelers.
And he's done it at a Pro Bowl level.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Velus Jones is not a proven guy.
No, far from it. Far from it. What else, Kevbo?
The headline on Yahoo, NFL delivering Cole with Christmas move.
It's cold-blooded, for sure. Yeah.
Frank Schwab writes for Yahoo and kind of just ripping the league for adding these Wednesday Christmas games for the upcoming season.
What is he ripping them for?
He really doesn't go into too much detail. He basically just says it's not for the fans. It's only to maximize the NFL brand, maximize profit. There's the safety concerns. Of course, we heard that the team that's playing on Wednesday is going to play, Saturday?
Yes, the four teams, because there'll be two games. Yeah. So the four teams playing on Christmas Day, which will be a Wednesday, will be playing on a Thursday the week before. So the allotted rest time will be the same as if they were going Sunday to Thursday.
Yeah.
He just goes on to say this is greedy, it's not for the fans, it's only for the league. Are you as down on this as Mr. Schwab?
I'm not. As a fan... No. Why wouldn't I want a little football on Christmas Day?
Exactly. Like, five-channel Frank in there wants to poo-poo the NFL on Christmas.
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm talking about Frank Schwab. You said his name, the author's name was Frank Schwab?
Yeah. Five-channel Frank.
Five-channel Frank in there.
Well, you're ripping the five-channel format.
What are you talking about?
You said earlier that people that are big into the divisional rivalries are archaic, something to that effect.
Yeah, can we get back to that conversation as well? Let's have that conversation also.
A relic of the past?
Mm-hmm. First of all, let's clean up the old Sunday or the old Christmas Day game. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, so am I.
I mean, listen. I like it. If there's a financial benefit to it, so be it. I don't have any problem. Look, NBA and other leagues, you know, make your product more desirable to a larger group of sports fans. That's all I would tell you. More football, more better. I don't have any problem with them playing on Christmas Day. I think by the time we get to the Christmas Day games, we're going to all be looking at each other the day before going, wow, I think it's great. We're going to be able to watch football tomorrow on Christmas. Going to open up gifts, and then we're going to settle in for a nice day of football.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. And to be honest, I think the Bears would kind of be a prime team to put on one of those games, too. When you think about it, like, end of the season, like, if you got a Bears-Packers Christmas Day... I think.
Whoa! You just told me that the division games are meaningless.
It's a great way to ruin Christmas too.
They're rivals. You can have rivals outside of your division.
Rivalries will go away if, in fact, you still play.
Listen, I'm not okay. I'll say this: I'm not against divisions per se. I'm against the fact that a team can go 10-7. And then you've got an 8-9 division winner, but the 8-9 division winner gets to host a playoff game.
That's an imperfect society, football society, but win your division.
Tyler,
we were always told, win your division.
Is it more like
win more games?
Is it more like the NBA where, yes, there's divisions, but what matters is the way the conference seating shakes out?
Well, even in the NBA,
and
if
I
you
would also tell you this, Mister, not everybody's schedule's the same. So everybody's strength of schedule can be
but
different.
But that's going to be like that no matter what.
Exactly.
But so in the NBA, though, like you can't, if you win your division, you can't drop past fourth unless that rule's changed recently. All division winners occupy three of the four top four spots.
But divisions in the NBA have never really been important, have they?
Right. So why should they be
because
important
they
in other
have
sports?
Been in the NFL.
Why don't you just
why
give
are you
me-
getting rid of them in the NFL when it does create interest?
What if you
are you guys division guys in the NFL, Charlie?
I've never once really thought about it, but
Spend a couple of seconds thinking about it right now.
But here's why I do like the divisional stuff. I do like that. If you are tuning into an NFC North game in December, I mean, really, I guess it's just Bears Packers, but like you're like you associate certain geographical qualities
like, you know,
with
you might
different
see
divisions
snow on your television.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
It's going to be a cold outdoor
like,
game.
That's a silly reason to want division play.
I'm agreeing with you, though. I like division.
I know, but your rationale is silly.
But like,
because snow could be part of the equation.
Yeah, but like, you know, like
a bad lawyer to stand here.
An NFC North showdown, like what, like those kinds of images that conjure in your head. You think of like the cold gridiron football.
I don't care about the cold gridiron football,
Charlie. I'm fine with leaving divisions in for scheduling purposes, but for it to not let a 10-7 team in for a 9-8 team, that to me is stupid.
They've played a different, maybe, but maybe you're the people in your division, it's a tougher division or it's a weaker division.
How would the division be tougher if the best team wins 9 games?
Because there's more parity inside your division. There's more good teams instead of one really good team and the rest of the teams suck. Like in the AFC South, you got one good team and everybody else is
How
everyone
about the
else
AFC
blows.
North last year? Didn't everyone win 10 games in the AFC
Maybe
North last
so.
Year? Nine
win your
games.
Division. I'm just telling you, over the course of time, if you eliminate divisions, the Bear-Packer rivalry will go away. Now again,
it's already gone away.
Well, it's gone away because we can't beat them.
Exactly.
We'll
win games.
Them.
Win your games. That's
trying to
more
break
important.
The cycle, Tyler. We're trying to break the cycle.
Exactly. I don't think it's gone away with fans. Like, I still think fans get really fired up. No, like, yes. Packers fans in Green Bay get fired up when the Bears are coming.
And
Bears fans in Chicago get fired
up. I don't
know if
that's as much the truth NBA. Anymore. You can't compare it to the NBA. It's different. It's just different. That's the best way I can describe it.
There's more juice to a Bears game. Bears-Packers is a given, but there's more juice if you're playing Minnesota or Detroit unless you're playing L.A. or Tampa later in the season.
Because
it's
right,
a division
Kev?
Rivalry.
But you'll,
yeah.
And
you
there's
can
the
still
geographical
see them twice
element.
A year. You can still see them twice a year. I just don't want it determining my playoff seeding.
Tyler, we've talked about how fun it is to be the away fan, you know, in the hostile stadium. There's that element, too. They're playing Detroit. You can make the trip up to Detroit. You can get that experience
in
a rivalry setting.
I don't want to manipulate the schedule in any way. I think the NFL does a perfect job of scheduling out their games. I just don't want it to determine my playoff seeding.
So instead it would be the Bears have three set opponents every year, but that they play twice a year. It just, however,
correct.
Those teams mm-hmm. end up in the standings ultimately doesn't matter.
Correct.
So you would just like to configure a new bracket.
Give me the seven best teams in the playoffs, and that's how they're seeded. That's how I want it done.
Okay, but do we factor in strength of schedule, strength of opponent inside the division? What factors in are just
we get
wins
a computer,
and losses?
Like the old BCS.
There's so many different, like, that you can go strength of schedule, strength
right,
of victory.
You may be playing record in common games. In the AFC East, and you just have buckets of puke with the Patriots and the Jets.
Well, guess what? You're
and
only getting
one
team in.
Good team, so you got one team. Like, they're playing a much easier schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, I think...
But what if in that division of guard... Like, how about this? The NFC South has been pretty bad the last couple of years.
Yes.
They really deserve a playoff team every single year. Like,
All I know is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won a playoff game.
They did. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
all
I believe...
All you gotta do is win and get in, right?
You gotta
be the Arizona Diamondbacks, right, Kev?
I believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would have gotten in even under my proposed format.
So you just want to reseed in the postseason?
Not reseed. It's just seed it as it's as your record shows.
Okay, that's fine. I don't care about that. If you want to do that, and if I wanted a division game,
guess what? Maybe a division doesn't get in 1 year.
No, get out of here. You win your division and you're in.
But what if you're in a crap division?
Okay, so what? Maybe injuries have led to that problem. It's a pretty physical game.
But that's part of the sport.
Okay, but you
every
get
team.
In. You get in, but
what, are
we going
to restart the season if did the Jets petition to restart the season when Aaron Rodgers blows his Achilles out?
No, but it doesn't mean that the AFC East doesn't deserve to have a team in the postseason. Everybody, you win your division, you're in. If you want to reseed everybody, fine. We can have that conversation later. But we're not giving up the divisions in the NFL.
Give me the seven best. You're the one that doesn't want to water down. You don't want to water down the playoffs by adding extra and bad teams.
I don't.
So why are you inviting a team who maybe goes sub 500?
That's part of the equation. It's part of the beauty of the NFL. You win your division and you're in.
Well, it's
even if your division sucks.
That's every sport.
It's not really. That's not the way the NBA does it.
You win your division.
And I don't care.
We wouldn't have gotten beast mode if we didn't get the Seahawks in that year. Because they had, that was what? That was like.
Were they in the 7-9 team that got in?
They got in, and then they beat the Saints, and then the Bears beat them. But
I think that's also part of the flawed logic. You're rewarding that team with a home game then on top of that.
Okay, well, we can have that discussion, but we're not getting rid of divisions, buddy. You can take that act out of here.
So you, if let's say the Bears go out 10-7 this year, all right?
Yeah. Good year.
Third in their division.
Okay.
Missed the playoffs.
Well, maybe you should have been a little bit better then. You should have been better and you could have gotten a wild card game.
But can't you spin that on the team that goes 9-8 and say, hey, you should have been a little bit better?
No, because your goal is to beat the teams in your division.
Win as many games as possible.
Okay. Don't you think this could lead to more tanking, though? Like, if a team is kind of on the outskirts, but they still have a chance to win their division, they know they can get in the playoffs, but maybe they're on the outside looking in. Then all of a sudden, they're calling the dogs off.
When you've got almost half of your conference getting into the playoffs every year, I think that's, and the fact that the margin in professional football is so small as well between the best of the middle ground, haven't you addressed your issue
that you've got a beef with by expanding the playoffs? Because now you're letting more teams in.
Hasn't that kind of letting better teams in though?
Well, but it solved your problem. You want teams like...
I want the best seven teams in the playoffs, yeah.
Well, I want division
you
winners.
You want division winners.
I do, yeah.
Because
to me, it's part of the game.
You're in the crap pool out west, so all of a sudden, you can get in.
That's the way
just
I...
Just because I, you play out
way,
west.
It's the way I enjoy the sport.
All right.
It's, you know, some traditions were meant to go on forever. And that's one of them.
Are they?
You can poke holes in a lot of stuff. Like, that one is, no, it's non-negotiable. The Bears are going to continue to be in the same division with Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm all for that. But if the entire division is bad...
You win your division. You win the division, you get in. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it is in basketball. And you know what? You get in. If you win your conference, you could suck.
But that's a 68-team field.
I don't care. So what? There aren't 150 different NFL teams. There's only 32.
That's 68 teams out of 360-something.
How many are getting in the NFL right now out of 32?
14?
Right. Almost half.
Yeah, that's a sixth in college basketball.
But all you got to do is win your crappy division. You may not be one of the better teams, but you won your division, you get in. You can have a horse manure season, and you won your conference and you get in.
Just because you're in New Orleans instead of Chicago, you'll get in?
Well, that's the way it is in the different conferences, right?
Not really.
But if you win your conference tournament, don't you get into the NCAA?
Yes, but you're not a victim of geography there. Look, Stanford's going to be in the ACC. It's going to be proud to be.
Well, but look, I can't solve those problems like that.
They're not a victim of. You don't get to pick your division.
You don't get to rearrange the NFL, mister. You just
maybe,
don't.
Maybe we should.
You don't.
Maybe they should conference draft every single year.
Do you feel the same way, Tyler, about MLB? Like if the Cubs win their division with 83 victories, but Philadelphia, Miami...
It happens every freaking year that the AL East has got five teams better than your sorry ass team.
Yeah, and guess what?
And they get in.
They should be in. They should be in over my sorry ass team.
So why aren't you pitching a fit for Major League Baseball?
I would.
To do it?
I think neither of the Centrals should have gotten in last year.
There has to be a prize for winning your division. There has to be.
Why can't there be certain traditions with sports that sometimes just don't make 100%
sacred anymore?
Sense.
Look at the way that college sports are going right now, and the reconfiguration.
Okay,
that nothing is sacred anymore.
Isn't the problem just have some nice stuff here? You're always looking to rearrange the furniture. Why?
Sometimes we want to build bunk beds, Waddle.
Sometimes we do, but this time I don't. I want my own bed on the floor over here. And you're going to ask why? I'm going to say because that's why.
Tyler's nailing a pencil to the bunk bed.
Okay, do you guys want to go with...
No, because I think it ends up like...
This freaky freestyle
I think it ends up with... I think it's weird that... I know that there's differences, but I think it's weird that Stanford is in the ACC.
Yeah,
like,
that doesn't appeal to me.
That's where it seems like we would be headed.
That way.
But they're not a prisoner of geography.
Aren't we all prisoners of geography?
Like, you make that sound like it's a death penalty.
For a team that doesn't get to the playoffs, it is a death penalty.
For who?
If a team has a worse record, if a team has a better record than another team.
They've addressed some of these issues by expanding the playoffs. Like, if you're not good enough, even in a division, look at the AFC North. Four teams can get in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, you may not win the division, but if you win enough games, you're still going to get in.
It's very tough still, though.
Oh, don't tell me it's very tough. Life's very tough, mister.
Think about how
life is tough.
Okay, so if life's so tough, why don't...
And by the way, things ebb and flow. Sometimes the AFC East is the most difficult division.
Yes.
Next year, it may suck out loud.
Yeah.
So I don't think we need to change things year by year. Well, you just...
Don't be a prisoner of geography, Tom Waddle.
Am I right or wrong? I
mean, you are 100% right, Tom Waddle.
You're on an island.
You're on an island,
Tyler.
I'll sit on my island. You're sorry for wanting teams with better records in the playoffs.
You're in Antigua right now.
Yeah. Anything else, Kevbo?
I had a lot of White Sox stuff. We're out of time.
Thank God.
Blessing in disguise. All right, when we come back...
That was what we call a White Sox filibuster.
When we come back, Ryan Poles did talk about the lack of draft picks that the Bears have for this upcoming season. We'll discuss that and more. Tyler Rocky in for Sylvie here on Waddle and Sylvie.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Waddle and Sylvie are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Have you rethought your stance on divisions?
No, I stand with my give me the seven best teams. By the way, we'll crosstalk with Black.
Are you the
and
seven
Shea?
Best teams? If you're playing a different schedule, not everybody's playing the same schedule. You may catch a team on a day where their starting quarterback, their starting running back, and their starting defensive end are out, or you may be locked into a division.
It'll never be fair. It'll never be fair.
Exactly. So why don't we just leave it the way it is so we can continue to nurture the rivalries that exist?
Nurture the rivalries. How many true football rivalries are there still?
Well, ours with Green Bay is a rivalry in theory. It's not so much now in reality because they have dominated this. But I think that, like, Minnesota and Green Bay are a good rivalry. I think that, you know, and the rivalries can ebb and flow. I think the Lions are developing a nice little rivalry with the rest of the division while they, you know, resided in the cellar for year after year after year.
I don't know if the Lions are developing a rivalry.
Well, how do you develop a rivalry when you become more competitive with the rest of the division?
Yeah, but then, like, football is the ultimate game of parity, right? So in 3 years, the Lions could be irrelevant. Lions could be irrelevant this year if some things go awry. Like,
well, it could happen to any team. Yes, you're right.
Right. So
Bears and Packers. You're not
Bears and Packers.
You're not getting rid of it.
I'm not trying to get rid of
you
Bears and Packers.
You are trying to get rid of it.
I'm not trying to get rid of Bears and Packers.
You are. Reject modernity, Tyler.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. Let's take a few calls, and then Ryan Poles also spoke about the lack of draft picks that the Bears have. Matt's been patient in Streamwood. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, Waddle and Tyler. Hey, Waddle and Tyler. Thanks for taking my phone call. I appreciate it.
Yep.
I'm perplexed. I don't understand when Ryan Poles said that he's not going to attend Drake May's pro day. I don't understand that. I just, like I said, for me, you guys, with all due diligence, he's got to do all due diligence on all these quarterbacks and leave no stone unturned. Now, I understand they went to Jaden Daniels, and I even remember Waddle, I talked to you a couple weeks ago when they went to Bo Nix, and I know they went to just J.J. McCarthy. Are they trying to say that Drake May is not even possibly a one or two number one quarterback in this draft? Or is it just something that whatever Ryan Poles is evaluating these quarterbacks, that Drake May has no possibility in possibly being? Because for me, you guys, it just seems like with Ryan, when Ryan Pace did it with Mitch Trubisky, and you know, with you know, he just did not have Deshaun Watson come to the visit. He was just between, you know, just he just fixed on Mitch Trubisky. And, you know, I just don't understand why Ryan Poles would not just try it just to see. I know he has a contingent going there, and I know he has the quarterback's coach. But what happens if the quarterback's coach comes back and says to him that, hey, I do like Drake May. I do want, let's just try to get him for a visit. Like, I just don't understand why Ryan Poles would not want to go and just to see what Drake May and what he's like and how he interacts. And maybe he can. Maybe he might see something that he does. But just not to go to his visit just seems to me just odd.
Well, I think the reason you go to any of these visits, Matt, is to get to know the person. And they have done all of the film work. And I believe they have come to the conclusion that, based on the film, Caleb Williams is the best quarterback in the draft in a convincing fashion. So then what they needed to do was convince themselves that Caleb Williams, the person, was somebody that they could coexist with. They've become very comfortable with that, as we have heard. So if you have already been convinced by the film that as a quarterback, he is your best option, and then you become even more convinced about him, the person, then I understand why they may decide, Ryan Poles may decide not to go there. Like, again, as Matt said, they're sending, you know, a group of people there for the pro day.
I'd have to see who else North Carolina's pro day, like which other programs are having their pro day that same day too.
Right.
We see less and less people go to the NFL combine even these days. Like we were talking about how there's fewer and fewer coaches and GMs I think there were some GMs that weren't going.
How about this? How about the possibility maybe that Drake May, they may not go to Drake May's pro day, but maybe Drake May's one of the 30 visits.
That's what I was going to get to. Like, the 30 visits are probably more important.
Yeah.
Pro days, at the end of the day, you don't really need to be there.
I don't think that the pro day from a performance perspective is even important.
Because if
you want to know anything about the player, if you want to know something about the player, put on film.
Exactly.
And watch the film over and over again.
You're not gleaning anything
from
this.
It's an extension of the underwear Olympics that goes on at the combine. Mm-hmm. You're throwing in a controlled environment to guys that you've been practicing with for 4 years or 3 years or whatever it is.
And you're doing the exercises that you want to do.
Correct.
Too.
So I wouldn't learn anything new about you as a player watching pro day.
Mm-hmm.
I may learn more about you, the person.
And I would guess, too, like Ryan Poles going to LSU's pro day, he may not be going to watch Jaden Daniels.
Oh, he could be there for Malik Nabers. He could be there for Brian Thomas.
He could be there for a number of other players. And UNC, I mean, I haven't looked at things as extensive.
Is it Tez Watkins, the wide receiver?
I haven't looked at it as extensively. I haven't done a 7-round mock draft like Matt Miller has. But I would guess UNC doesn't have as many draft players as LSU.
Right.
Maybe USC, they have about the same amount. But
look, again, I don't know who they're inviting in for. They have 30 opportunities to meet with guys. Maybe Drake May is somebody that they bring in.
I guess it is.
I would think so, too. But again, to me, if you're convinced that this particular player and Caleb Williams on film is the best option as a player, then there's no reason for you to go down and watch Drake May and the rest of the Carolina guys work out in shorts and T-shirts it may be valuable to you to get to know Drake May, the person, better, and maybe that still will happen.
Yeah.
That I don't know.
Yep. 312-332-3776. Blake's in St. Charles. What's up, Blake?
Well, what's up, fellas? So I wanted to agree with Waddle on the divisional kind of like.
Yeah, Blake, go get him. Go get Tyler. Tell him he's crazy. Yeah,
well, I mean, if you want to do that, then you got to change the schedule. The schedule is built for a team is to play twice in their division. You can't do that and then eliminate.
You see, Blake, I'm not trying to get rid of divisions. I'm just trying to say how. I want the top seven teams in my playoffs based off
of
record.
Okay, but if you're not trying to get...
fine, then the schedule's different, you know?
How is the schedule different?
Well,
you can still have your divisions for scheduling purposes.
Teams, you know, we play each of those teams twice every year because we're winning our division. That's the whole point. If we're saying divisions don't matter and only records matter, then why are we playing each divisional team twice?
That's a good point. If you were just going to go by records, then you wouldn't be playing different teams twice. You would just spread it out and you'd play everybody once. You'd try to match up as many teams as
correct,
you can.
Which goes to Waddle's point of that eliminates rivalry.
Yeah.
And thanks for the call, Blake. You could always protect certain opponents too. Like that's how they do it in college sports, where you protect certain opponents.
And what has happened to college sports? It's a free-for-all. Right?
Yeah.
And I don't want
because
that.
Because they're no longer victimized by geography.
They're not victims. You're using that word, and I don't believe... I mean, nobody's being victimized in the NFL because you're forced to play in a division. It's something that may not be 100% equitable, but it is such a fabric of the sport, has been for so long. I don't think you change it just to try to create something that you feel is more equitable.
Tony's on I-55. What's up, Tony?
Tony.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
All right. So I got a idea on the division. So you got 16 teams in each conference.
Yeah.
So after this season... you would realign the four worst teams in a division and then the four best teams in a division. So then you would still get teams not tanking. So if the four worst teams in the conference, one of them still got a shot the next year.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Tony. That almost feels like relegation, like a bad form of relegation.
Yeah, I mean, again, to me, I have value for winning your division. Like, can you explain to me that there is a team that deserves to be in the playoffs, maybe ahead of Tampa, maybe every now and again? Like, I think it's crazy that you also, I mean, you are going to find now that you've expanded the playoffs, you're going to find more and more teams that are below 500 potentially be in the postseason.
Now,
dilution of the postseason.
Do you think Tampa, even though they weren't, I think they finished sixth in the NFC last year, they finished sixth in the NFC last year.
They hosted a playoff game against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Do you agree with that?
I think you could. I could sit down and have a nice, friendly conversation about that. Versus when you start talking about eliminating divisions, like I see red and I want to swing.
Then I think we're kind of on the same page. Like Philadelphia winning 11 games. In a tougher division, too.
And then having to go to
Tampa for a first-round playoff game.
But if you're really that damn good, then beat them.
That's fair.
Tyler's starting to sway me a little bit.
That is fair.
Charlie, all I got to do is, like, I could offer you some chocolate you, and convince you to join me again.
You know what we've determined? And we've got a little group chat, myself, Chardog, Shay Norling, and Justin Pottinger. We determined last night that we can convince Charlie to do just about anything. Like, if it involves a bet, like, we can get Charlie to tail just about anything. I could send a Scandinavian fishing parlay in there, and Charlie's going to be on board.
I tailed that High Point play from Shay earlier.
He's very agreeable.
I don't even know what tournament they're in. Is it the CBI? I think that's what they're
in. I don't know. I don't even know their mascot.
Rick's
the High Point Furniture Makers.
Rick's and Downers. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. Love the conversation, by the way. I think when it comes to the NFL, it really comes back to math. when it comes to who you're playing with your conference. There's just so many fewer games in the NFL than all the other, you know, major sports that ultimately there's no way to have like a real way of determining who are the best seven teams, right?
I agree.
There's just not enough.
You can never change it either.
There's some subjectivity with regard to that particular determination versus other sports where teams are playing 162 games or 82 games.
Exactly. The only way to honestly do it from a mathematical perspective is to not have any, you know, any teams that you're going to play twice or once or whatever, and just make it completely random. And every year you play 17 different teams. And I don't think that's the best way to go. But that's, from a mathematical perspective, probably the only way would be fair.
Right. And sometimes you just got to take the math and crumble it up and throw it in the trash. And admit that emotion is going to rule the day here, not mathematical common sense.
Yeah, like I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of the math to be determining my playoffs.
And by the way, you know, this isn't a national security issue.
No.
Like if this was national security, and
we wouldn't be talking about it. We would leave it to the higher beings.
Right. Or it would be determined by things that were more important. This is football, and it's a big business. I get it. But emotion is a part of sports, and tradition is a part of sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with tweaking things every now and again. But you try to mess with the divisions,
You're gonna come after me, huh?
Well, I mean, I'm not coming after anybody, but I'm going to pitch a fit. I'll be more emotionally invested in that than I would be something else. Like, no, it's working pretty damn well right now, isn't it? Is it working pretty well?
It's working. Yeah,
I mean, we have a couple of beefs or bitches that about the NFL. I wish more plays were reviewable. I think all roughing the passer plays should be reviewable. I don't know why you got a couple of 68-year-old guys on a chain gang determining what's a first down and what's not. I could use some technology for that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just some things. Just leave them alone. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone, Tyler.
All right.
Don't have to mess with everything.
312-332-3776.
I don't know. What is Tyler doing? Because I'll follow.
Charlie's logging a darts match for later today. All right, when we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls and also talk a little bit more about Ryan Poles and some of his comments. That's all coming up next on Waddle and Sylvie.
You're in the middle of the Waddle and Sylvie Show, ESPN Chicago. Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM. Listen now on ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Tyler Aki in for Sylvie.
Did you offer Charlie something to come over to your side with regard to the division?
I don't need to offer Charlie anything to be swung.
He just randomly.
He's going to do a desk pop by the time the rest of the show's over.
I don't even know what that is. What is
it? They were so convincing in their argument.
The other guys were Will Ferrell. He's the cop, and he fires his gun from his desk because they convinced him that.
Then they gave him a wooden gun, didn't they?
A fake wooden gun. Yeah. But he fired his gun at his desk because everyone convinced him, like, oh yeah, you've never done a desk pop before.
Yeah, that's right.
What was your first? September 03.
But yeah,
good point.
All right. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, we'll hear some sound from Ryan Poles in a little bit as well, talking about the lack of draft picks that the Bears have. They only have four for this upcoming draft. And I think some fans are maybe a little weary about that.
They do, but they've basically, their draft picks have gone to guys that are currently on the roster. Like they traded a second round pick for Montez Sweat and then re-signed him. Their fourth round pick, one of their fourth round picks, went to the Los Angeles Chargers in exchange for Keenan Allen. Mm-hmm. So,
fifth rounder for Ryan Bates, who it seems like is going to be the starting center.
Right.
Now.
And that was another, I think, nugget that came from the Eberflus interview.
Yes.
I think you could look at it that way, that they don't have a lot of draft picks coming up, or you could look at it that they've used their
drafted.
Right. They've already drafted guys. And in some ways, I'm I'm okay with it depending on the player that they have traded for, because by trading for an existing player, you eliminate some of the risk.
Yes, so, certainly.
I mean, the fourth round pick that you give up for Keenan Allen, now I would like to see them sign him to an extension so I know he's going to be here at least 2 years, mm-hmm. especially for a young quarterback. Like, you're going to get more value, I think, out of Keenan Allen for that fourth round pick than you would from a rookie with that fourth round pick.
Now, in regards to Keenan Allen, there was a story on ESPN.com earlier today from Chris Rimm. He's their ESPN NFL Nation insider there. And he put out a piece about Keenan Allen and the trade, how it kind of blindsided him and all that, but that he was asking for a lot of money, too, as a part of an extension. And that, to me, would get me a little bit weary about whether or not we'll see him with the Bears long term.
I've heard Yurko say this quite a bit in the past, and I do agree with it. I don't think it necessarily means he won't still ask for a lot of money, but I think it's easier to ask for less from a new team under a circumstance like this than the team that was eventually going to trade you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much less, and I think it's a fair concern for sure about an extension. I would not want to give up a fourth-round pick for Keenan Allen and then lose him after a year. I mean, I think the thought of having him inside that offensive huddle for 2 years is very appealing to
me. I think it's important, too, for a young quarterback.
Yes.
Maybe you draft a young receiver there as well to have Keenan Allen in that room with those guys. I mean, you've got – not only do you have two talented guys that you're dropping Caleb Williams in with, but you're not dropping him in with some head case receivers who's going to be right. asking ball, 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 ball.
Right.
You're going with two very like high yeah. class professional guys.
Oh, I think these are two guys that they're top end players, but they're also top end guys.
Yes,
and they're very mm-hmm. quarterback, young quarterback friendly. I would assume as well. So that's why I think that this is a really good situation for a young quarterback to come into, and it's why my expectation level this year for Caleb Williams is. I mean, there's going to be some rookie moments for sure. But by the end of the season, he should be playing better football than we've seen at that position over the last 3 years.
So according to this story, so Keenan Allen was offered a two-year extension that would have spread some money out over the course of the years, so the cap hit wasn't as high this year. They declined that. 2 days later, Allen's team proposed a multi-year counteroffer that would have made Allen among the league's highest-paid receivers. And receiver's a position now that where you're seeing the salaries really starting to shoot up.
Well, look at the deal that Jerry Jeudy got, right?
Jerry Jeudy. How about Calvin Ridley as well? I mean, what did he get? 4 for $92, I believe.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Justin Jefferson's going to reset that market soon, right?
So, yeah, I wouldn't be interested in signing him to a four-year. Like, the deal that Calvin Ridley got, he's a better player than Calvin Ridley. Calvin mm-hmm. Ridley's probably, what, 2.5 years younger?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in giving a 32-year-old player coming to a colder climate
mm-hmm.
who's had a history, albeit he's been uber productive even when missing two or three games yeah. a year. But I mean, you can't get into a restrictive four-year contract with him.
If Calvin Ridley is getting $23 million a year, what's Keenan Allen getting?
He right. should like, be getting
well, he's
more
at,
than,
I think he's at 23.
He's at 25, right?
Right?
Because, it was 23, right?
Yeah, 23, five, 18 with the five mil bonus. Five, yeah.
So he's at that right now.
Right, so if he's asking for a spike, and he's coming off one of the best years of his career as well, if he's asking for a spike off of that, probably in the neighborhood of what you'd imagine, 26 to 28?
Probably.
Now, it'd be shorter
yeah.
in terms of the length of the contract, but I don't know if I'm Ryan Poles, if that appetizes me to go out and make a trade, and to sign him to a deal like that when you know you have to pay DJ Moore. And
correct,
I'd rather pay DJ Moore than Keenan Allen.
I'm with you there. And if this becomes like apparent fairly soon that they're going to struggle to get a contract extension signed with him, I wonder whether or not that would lead them even more so to be more inclined to draft a receiver at 9
yeah.
versus not.
312-332-3776. Speaking of that draft, we will hear from Ryan Poles when we come back. He talked about the Bears only having 4 draft picks. We'll do that when we come back. Tyler Aki in for Sylvie here on Waddle and Sylvie.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.